All right, as the outlines are going around, if you need a Bible, a pen, anything like that, they are over there, so go ahead and get those. What you don't need is your smartphone, your cell phone, your tablet, your device of any sort. You don't need that. So if you have it, please put it away. Just every once in a while we go over house rules. Does it sound like I'm in a tunnel? To me, it sounds like I'm in a tunnel. All right, do something. Turn the gain down and turn the volume up a little. No, really, just go ahead and turn the gain down and the volume up a little. Just the top white button, turn it down. Turn the volume up. See if that helps not sound like tunnel. That helps a little bit? Okay, cool. That's helping. All right. Hey. How you doing? All right. So, also, if you have food or beverages, go ahead and pop the tops now before we get started. Crunkle your little bags till your crinkled heart is content, but don't crinkle when we're doing the lesson. Besides that, our rules are pretty simple. Also, please remember to pick up after yourself when you get up. When you get up, it's just worth that quick little check. Look underneath your seat, pick up your outline, your flyer, your handout, the bulletin that fell out of your Bible, the cup, the soda can, the candy wrapper from the candy. Just if you brought it in, it helps out our setup cleanup team so much if you just take it out with you. I just went really crazy. We got lots of trash cans all around, so there's no shortage of trash cans to be able to put that stuff in. All right, everybody got an outline now? Also, don't forget, Go Deep is over. It was a great weekend. If you got to be a part of that, thank you for coming. Thank you for being attentive. It seemed like most everybody was there because they desired to be there and they desired to dig deeper. So that is encouraging. It really is very encouraging to know that you desire to understand and know God's Word on a deeper level. And please understand that just because you weren't there, I think that means you don't desire that. Okay, I understand there's reasons why some of you couldn't be there. I get it. I'm not saying you aren't spiritual. Okay, but thank you for those that were able to be there. And then don't forget, Underground Church is coming up. Underground Church is right around the door, so mark the calendars. Talk to your parents about it, and invite some friends. You'll be seeing, like, Ethan has got the green light now to send out some emails, so you'll be seeing some emails about that. Not that Ethan. You'll be seeing some emails coming soon about Underground Church. And then also, just keeping in your mind here, probably about mid-April, I'm going to start pushing camp hard. So that's when the camp flyers are going to come out. Camp is June 16th through the 22nd. We're going to Harrison Bay State Park in Chattanooga. Right now on the agenda, I am looking at going to Stone Mountain, a Braves baseball game, a Coey whitewater rafting, and Six Flags over Atlanta. Plus 2 days of in-camp activities, probably. I don't know if we're going to get all of the ski boats we desire, so if we don't get the ski boats to do skiing, I'm going to do water-based field day activities. So like canoe races. Yeah. Greased watermelon basketball, if you've never played that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I was looking, I'll let you know now, since that's probably not going to happen, I was looking at those big floating gauntlets that you can run around on. Those things are ridiculous, so. We don't have the budget for that unless somebody wants to, like, donate serious hard money to camp. But I might try to build my own, right? You can see a little bit of Rathbun Redneck rigging with finoodles, and if your car's missing some tires, I probably took them. And we'll try to build our own. But, all right. So, let me start us off with prayer. Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you so much for just how truly you've blessed us, Father. I thank you for this church. Just thank you for these teens and their apparent desire to honor and glorify you. I do pray that you would raise up young men and women who just love you and desire to serve you with their lives. I pray that you'd give them just wisdom and maturity beyond their years, Father, that they would be radically different from the world, and that they would just be seeking to be a light in this darkness, Father. I just pray that you would help them as they press out into college and the career force, that you would just guard them and protect them, Father, help them to make wise choices and wise decisions, that they'd be stay plugged into good local churches, Father, and just and help all of us, Lord, to just continue to strive to do everything we do for your glory. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we are now in the book of Luke, as your outline should say, right? The book of Luke. Yay. So in case you're new, you haven't been following, or if you've been out for a little bit, or if you've slept since last week, we are doing... Okay, I got to do something different with that. We're doing Bible survey. It's really kind of spiking. How about that? Can you hear me now? Okay. We are doing Bible survey. So if that is a surprise to you, surprise. If not, good. So the book of Luke. And we're going to do it. I'm going to do it the same way I kind of did last week, where I'm going to go through kind of that outline, basic points of the book of Luke, and then with the time that we have remaining, I will go back through and just kind of give you a little bit more historical about the author, about the time frame and the setting. All right, so the theme of the book of Luke is Jesus as the Son of Man. Jesus as the Son of Man. So can anybody tell me what do we strongly believe that Luke's profession was? Go with Andrew. What? A doctor, a physician. Okay, so does that sound like something? And this is just neat stuff that I like to notice and see. If I was a physician, what aspects do you think that I would be focused on as a, or maybe perhaps more thought-provoked towards as I'm writing the book? Samuel. The humanity, the physical, right? And so Jesus as the Son of Man is really, it's still covering the gospel. Same with Matthew, Mark, and even aspects of John, the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, though. It's still covering that same territory, but you know, what was the theme of Matthew? Jesus as King. And Mark, Jesus as servant. And so we're getting Jesus as the Son of Man. So it's really the same accounts, really from the same time period through, but yet looking at the humanity of Jesus. Why do you think the humanity of Jesus is important? I'll give you a rough hint. I'm kind of insinuating towards like Philippians 2. Becca? Right. So he needed to be man, right, to pay the price for mankind. But yet, why is his deity important? Samuel? Right. He wouldn't be perfect otherwise. He needed to be 100% man and 100% God. And so it's important that we take everything as a whole. And Luke, by no means, just because the theme of Luke is Jesus as the Son of Man, by no means does Luke attempt to, or desire to, or any insinuation that it would take away from the deity of Christ. It is extremely important. That's like a whole sermon series in Philippians 2 with the kenosis, where when he took on flesh. Okay, that's a whole another series. But it's important that you understand for this, for the gospel, is that Jesus needed to be 100% man. He needed to be 100% God. He did not remove his humanity to be God. He didn't remove his God to be humanity. It's all. And so, Luke presents him as the Son of Man. So the outline, your basic outline of the book of Luke, if you're desiring to study and work through Luke, is the birth of the Son of Man. So that is Luke chapters 1 through 3, the birth of the Son of Man. And then we have the ministry of the Son of Man. That's covered in chapters 4 through 19. That's a big chunk of this, right? And then we have the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of Man. That's chapters 20 through 24. So that is your basic breakdown of the big picture things that you will get. And here's another reason why this is important. This isn't just as important for your ability to study, but if you can take these and memorize them, I know it's like, you guys, we're memorizing the book of James, we're going to memorize another book, and now you're telling me to memorize the key themes and the key principles of these books. You're losing your mind. Well, yeah, I am losing my mind, but that's beside the point. Okay, here's the point of this, is if you're engaged in conversations with people and you're trying to think of where do I need to go to be able to reference something, you may not know, be able to go to every chapter and every verse, but if you know that you're talking about the birth of Christ and you can say, well, I know it's in Luke somewhere between chapters 1 and 3, the verse I'm looking for, that narrows the search down for you, right? And then so if you can get kind of the themes of these, glump them into those big groups. 1 and 3 is about the birth, and 4 through 19 is about the ministry, and the crucifixion and resurrection. So if you're talking about the crucifixion and resurrection, somewhere between chapters 20 and 24 is where I need to start looking for those verses to have this discussion. That's going to save you a lot of time in regards to cross-referencing, and it's also going to make you more likely to engage in these conversations if you can help be able to do this quicker and be able to reference. Because here's the thing, I can stand here and I wrestle with this. I did a bad habit of memorizing verses without memorizing references when I was younger. And so I could stand there and I can quote to you a verse, but you say, where is it in the Bible? And it's going to take me forever to find it. Then you're apt to just walk away from the conversation. And I lose credibility, and it's not necessarily, you just don't necessarily believe it's in the Word of God. And so when you're talking to somebody, if you can take it, open up the Bible and show them and say, here, right here, let's look at this together in this passage. This is what it's talking about. It's so helpful. And I pray that you're in those conversations. I pray that you need this stuff. Yes, I put that upon you. You're like, don't throw that on me. I'm putting that on you. I pray because this world needs Christians that are vocal. This world needs Christians that know the Scriptures, that aren't just spewing out moral principles or saying, I think somewhere in the Bible it says, do unto others before they do it to you. And no, okay? And the world's full of people like that. And so you need to, this is part of that studying to show yourself approved, is to know where to find things. So if somebody comes to you and they're attacking the resurrection of Christ, you know, I don't know exactly what verse it is, but I know if I turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and start looking through that really quick here, I should be pretty good to go. And you will be, right? And that's why, like, okay, Chris says this all the time. So let me ask you, what book and chapter would you go to for really anything in general to do with the church? What's the first place you should go to? Becca? Ephesians 4 and 5. 5 is right in there too, but Ephesians 4. Yeah, so that's why he throws a lot of these out there, is to get you to understand where you need to go to find the answers. All right. That's my soapbox, or my little rabbit trail. Key chapters. So chapter 2 covers the birth of Christ. So that is the key, that is one of the biggest chapters in the book of Luke. And then key passages that you need to know. Chapter 18, 31 through 33, Jesus prepares to depart for Jerusalem. Jesus prepares to depart for Jerusalem. And that is your key passage, your key people. So let's do a little game with this. Key people. How about I'll read the description and you tell me who you think it is. It'd be easier if I said the name and you tell me the description, because the name is blank and the description is filled out, right? So the description: priest, husband of Elizabeth. Zacharias, good. All right, wife of Zacharias. Yes, Elizabeth. Where if you looked up at Zacharias, you would see the husband of Elizabeth, right? You see how this is connecting together? Okay, mother of Jesus. Sarah. Mary, good. All right. Angel who announced Ronnie. Gabriel. All right. Sisters of Lazarus. Paige. Yes, Mary and Martha. All right. Republican tree-climbing tax collector. I'm sorry, repentant, not Republican. Yeah, he might have been a Republican. Probably was. Repentant, no, he's probably actually, no, never mind, let's get out of that. JoJo. Zacchaeus. He probably became a Republican. Republican? Zacchaeus, Z-A-C-C-H-E-U-S. Zacchaeus. Did you get it right? Man, I wish I had a bag of candy to throw at you. I got a cup of coffee. Okay, so these things are important for you too. So now, now what we're going to do is going to go into a little bit more in-depth on kind of the author, the background, the setting. All right, so the same issue we run into with Mark, we run into with Luke. And that is, if you were to name the 12 apostles, would Luke's name be in the midst? No. So here we have another person that is not an apostle that is writing the Gospels. What is the deal with that? Yeah, he was close friends with Mary. He was close friends with Paul. But here's a kicker for you. Not only was Luke not an apostle, Luke was the only Gentile to pen Scripture. The only Gentile. Luke was a Gentile. So let's look at Colossians chapter 4. If you could sing the little song, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? I got to sing a little song because I'm having a hard time getting there. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Somebody that can project nice and loud and want to read that for me? Andrew? 10 through 14. I know it's going to sound a little funny when you start, but there's a reason for it. So go ahead and read it. Okay, so Really, what I wanted to get to was Luke, okay, the beloved physician. So there we have, again, a reference to him most likely being a physician. But Luke sends his greetings. But if we back up, he goes through this list of people and he says, those are the only ones of the circumcision who are faithful to serving. And then down lower, he lists Luke. Luke isn't mentioned in the list of those of the circumcision who are faithfully serving. If Luke wasn't faithfully serving, he wouldn't have included him in this. So Luke is with the highest percentage I could say without going above and beyond, because Scripture doesn't say Luke was a Gentile, but it seems as though everything points to the fact that Luke was a Gentile, because Paul would have included him amongst those of the circumcision that he was talking about in Colossians. So we've got a Gentile non-apostle who is penning Scripture. But here's the thing is, his education, which you need to understand also that he didn't have like the education of physicians that today would have. And so in regard to them speaking in a way that you would understand, Luke was this guy. Luke is the doctor with the ability to actually communicate to the patients where, you know, it's like, you have an epistaxis. Like, what? You got a bloody nose. Why didn't you just say I had a bloody nose? Right? So, you know, the doctors go crazy, and then they say these big, massive words, and then all of a sudden they just break it down Barney style for you. Luke was, they didn't have these big, massive words yet back then, okay? They were working on them, okay? And by no means was he a dummy, because he was a physician, but also neither was Mark or Matthew or any of these other people dummy. But Luke's education, his intellect is apparent in his writings, okay? So where, remember what was the reason why, like we said, most likely the reason why Mark didn't go through the genealogy and Mark didn't go deep into Jewish traditions and customs, and so the book of Mark was a little shorter than the others? Yeah. He was writing to Gentiles. Okay? And so he was trying to break it down in this. Well, most likely, Luke is writing to a Gentile also. So why does Luke, comparably longer out of these apostles, if Mark is doing it simplified because the Gentiles, it wouldn't be significant or wouldn't understand necessarily the significance of the genealogies or the phraseologies that would be specific to Jews, why is Luke significantly longer? Is Luke just throwing caution to the wind and running for it? Yes, exactly. So he's bringing these up, but he's explaining the significance of these things. So that's why Luke is significantly longer, would be that as he's presenting these things, he is breaking them down. If you look at, go back to Luke, the book of Luke, hopefully your Bibles are open there. So you'll see that Luke didn't just, well, none of them just willy-nilly went into this stuff, but it kind of gives you a little bit even an understanding of where Luke's coming from. So Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 1, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us. So here's an important word here. It's among us. Luke is including himself in this category. Luke was a companion of the Apostle Paul. He spent a lot of time with him, at least from like the midway point of Paul's ministry to right up into his martyrdom, where he's probably with Paul when he's penning the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is also written by Luke. And so this kind of gives us, and it really flows. They were probably actually very much back-to-back writings of these accounts, okay? But us, and so he's walking with the apostles. He, even though he himself was not an apostle and was not an eyewitness to these things, he's walking with them, he's learning from them, he's teaching with them. So he's teaching the truths that have been passed down. And so they're very important and hold dear to him. And God is still working in him as one of the early church founders, builders, in working with that of spreading the gospel. And so just because he's not an apostle does not mean he's not a disciple or a man who loves the Lord and is truly passionate and desiring to serve God. He's very much so that, and that's apparent through Scripture. So just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So he's saying that that was handed directly down to us. This is, these eyewitnesses have given us this information. And then he says, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus. So, Luke studied this. This was a breakdown of case study for him. He went to great lengths and details to study every detail and every aspect of the life and ministry of Christ. This was important to him to get it right. He took the eyewitness accounts, but he didn't just take the eyewitness accounts and hear them. He studied this. He examined it like you would expect a physician to do. Study and examine something. I think about like a forensics, right? And I'm not saying that he went and did forensics on anything, okay? I'm not saying, but as far as the study, if somebody that we could probably speak with confidence in Scripture knew how to do an in-depth breakdown study to try to look into things, Luke would be amongst the top of the list. So, he's saying that I've taken these eyewitness accounts, I've broken it down, I've studied it, I've looked it over, and that is why I'm penning it to you, most excellent Theophilus. Okay, so it's addressed to one person. However, the writing style that Luke uses, it seems very clear that he intends for this to be heard by many people. So, who in the world is most excellent Theophilus? If you're shrugging your shoulders saying, I don't know, well, that's a good answer. Because to say with certainty, I also don't know. however, there is somewhat of a consideration, if you would, or a theory, and I think that it holds some water to me as far as where I kind of feel like this would go and hold some good weight, and that is that, okay, so the word, let me see if, okay, the word Theophilus is literally means lover of God. So that's what that word means, lover of God. So it would seem like that is most likely a nickname or a pseudonym, okay? So it seems like that is not this person's actual birth name. The word's most excellent. So if I were, let's pretend time travel, okay, we're back in time, all right? And I were to come, and Will, because he's sitting in the front row right here, and I were, so we're back in the Roman Empire. Remember that, everybody's in the Roman Empire, right? You're all in the Roman Empire. Okay, and I were to come to Will, and I would say, most excellent Will, what would you think about Will? Pretty cool guy. What else? He's a ruler. Okay. So would you think that he would be perhaps somebody in a position of authority? Because, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, O King, live forever. There was always these somewhat greetings. Now, I'm not saying for certain that's what this aspect means, but it seems fitting with most excellent Theophilus, okay? It seems like that type of greeting that you would give somebody that is in authority. And so, I would ask you a crazy question then. Who would this be that could possibly be in authority in the Roman Empire, right? So this is possibly somebody who has authority in the Roman Empire that deserves to be called most excellent lover of God. All right, so it's very possible, because do you remember group of Romans who greeted the church? Correct. So he could be amongst these groups of the Praetorian Guards, the Romans, who were converted and were Christians that were serving in the Roman Empire. And so could be whom Luke is writing to, and so therefore writing to this person so that these accounts are spread to those Romans who are in Rome or serving in leadership, where most excellent Theophilus would be faithful and committed to actually distributing and making sure that the gospel is continued to be spread forth. And so that's a theory, and again, I won't speak soundly and say this is absolutely what happens, because that's not necessarily what we get from the Bible, but that really seems to add up to me to say that seems like a very likely possibility. All right, so Luke also, with the fact that Luke was so very detailed in his writings, this kind of helps give us a time period as to when we feel like this may have been written down. And so Luke, when he mentioned prophecies, he would mention the fulfillment of the prophecies, because he takes and breaks things down into great detail. Luke mentions the prophecy of the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem, but in his writings, he never mentions that prophecy being fulfilled. So that causes us to believe that it was probably written before the actual destruction. Now, Jerusalem was still under Rome, but they had a lot of freedom, especially in the Greek reign, where they had a lot of freedom, and the Greeks were more focused on just trying to Hellenize everybody and kind of give them the freedoms as a bit of candy to fall under this Hellenistic teaching that they're trying to push. And Romans kind of carried that for a while, and then they're like, okay, we're done with Jerusalem, this rebellion, these people rising up, we are going to squash their spirits. And so they go in and they really tear things up. Okay, and so that causes us to think that this was done before the time of Emperor Nero. This was probably around 60-61 AD. So just because of some of the things that he does mention, but yet he never mentions the fulfillment of that prophecy. Again, that could be something that maybe he forgot to mention, but it doesn't seem like it. Luke is pretty detailed, okay? He really lays things out. And it is almost, most assuredly, before the time of Paul's martyrdom. So this time period seems to fit with the writing style, with the events that he records and the prophecies he records that are fulfilled, and yet not, and kind of leaving that one open-ended. It seems to fall in that early 60s, not 1960s like you're thinking, AD 60s. So the actual no numbers in front of it, just 60. So that seems to be fitting towards the book of Luke. So I mentioned he spent most of his time as a close companion to Paul and is with him upon the point of his martyrdom, and that seems to be fitting. We see that in 2 Timothy. Let's see. And I mentioned the fact that it seems clear that he intended the book to be more than just to one person. Luke is also the book author of the book of Acts. Luke he doesn't mention himself by name in the writings. However, with Paul's references to Luke linking him, plus the style, there is no scholars that would argue that Luke wrote both the book of Luke and the book of Acts. All right. And as far as interpretive challenges go, you would have to continue to look up the synoptic problem. And so that, again, is a perhaps a discussion for like an entire message of working through just the synoptic gospels and then the issues people would have with the synoptic gospels. However, I do think we addressed a lot of their arguments and the fact that they're different writing styles, they're addressed to different people groups, and they are different people inspired by the same Spirit, still the Word of God. However, he used and allowed them to use themselves, how he made them to be able to pen these things and to address them to the audience in which he's intending them to address. And so you will not find contradictions between Luke, Mark, Matthew, John, any of the Scripture. No Scripture you'll find contradictions. And I don't need to do the genealogy thing, do I? You guys know? Because somebody will be like, yeah, well, the genealogies are different. There's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Does anybody know why it's not a contradiction? Maya. Right. The different bloodlines, tracing both. It's important that he would have the worldly right, the earthly right to be an heir to the throne that comes through the Father. However, he's not blood born by Joseph, and so therefore, he is also a blood relative through Mary to David. So both genealogies trace back to David. So which one do you think gives the genealogy of his bloodline through Mary? Sam. Luke. Why do you think that? Jojo. What's that? Because he was a friend of Mary. Okay, what's the theme of Luke? Jesus is the Son of Man. Right? So it would make sense that the actual physical bloodline that physically links him to the throne of David would be the genealogy of Mary. So why do you think Matthew would record the bloodline through Joseph? What's the theme of Matthew? Somebody that hasn't raised their hand or I haven't called on. Have I called on you yet, Danny? Yeah, Danny. Jesus is the King. And so you see the significance of that being traced through the actual lineage, which would be handed down through the Father. So it's not a contradiction, is it? Not at all. All right. And again, I think that it's important. You'll probably hear me beat this with every book that we go through, but we're doing Bible survey, big picture. Please don't let the big picture aspect oversimplify it and cause you not to look at the depths of these passages. They're, just because you kind of have the Bible survey understanding of it does not mean you don't need to dig deep into this, especially with the Gospels. This is foundational, fundamental. If you get this wrong, it doesn't matter what else you have right. You need to understand the gospel. Who God is, who man is, the person and work of Christ, and what you must do. You've got to have those things. And this is where you get those. All right, let's pray. Father, I do thank you again for this day. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you so much for your word and for these faithful men who have penned scripture as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the faithful men and women who have just worked so diligently to preserve scripture, to lay down their lives even for the protection of your word, Father. I thank you for those that have gone before us, Father. May we be as committed and as diligent to studying, understanding, knowing, and loving, and living by your word also. As we'd have a great day, that we just seek to honor you in it. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.